Empire of the Suns.
Suns.
Empire of the Suns.
Wet like on book. Wet like on book. Wet like on book.
Arizona Sports presents the Empire of the Suns podcast.
Empire of the Suns.
Hello there and welcome to the Empire of the Suns podcast. My name is Kellen Olson. I'm a writer, reporter, editor for ArizonaSports.com. I am joined, as always, on the other side of this table by Kevin Zimmerman, who holds those same titles. We are doing a podcast a little over 30 minutes since the Suns made a trade. Did they make a trade for a point guard? Debatable. Little debatable. If you have not heard the news yet, the Suns are sending Ryan Anderson to the Miami Heat in exchange for Tyler Johnson and Wayne Ellington. This appears to be a move more about money than anything. The Heat get out of the tax because of this deal, and they acquire a contract in Ryan Anderson's that only has $15.6 million guaranteed next year, while Tyler Johnson's is around $19 million, a little over $19 million. So they just saved some money there and clearly did not value Tyler Johnson enough for the rest of this season and next season in the same way. Pretty much they looked at the cost benefit of this and said, we'd rather just save a little bit of money than have him on the team, which I think gets to the point I've been seeing about Tyler Johnson and what I have seen from him myself in the limited amount of Heat games that I've seen. I loved him. I like his game a lot, and I loved him 2-3 years ago before he signed his 4-year, $50 million deal. And then the first year he was on that deal, he was pretty good. Since then, though, he has regressed. He's only 26, which is what makes it so weird. What were your thoughts on the deal when it first came across?
When it first came across, incrementally, when we just knew it was Tyler Johnson, that we knew Ryan Anderson was involved in it, underwhelming, but it makes sense. Like, we kept saying they have to do something. We kept saying, all right, if they go get a rental point guard, that would even be more helpful than not. We said this just a day ago when we recorded our last podcast. So he helps. Like, he's not gonna be completely off the ball. He can make plays off the dribble. As much as people put off that Igor was like, we don't need a point guard, it's true. He's just going to help them do the ball handling stuff, which we've said all along is important when you have Devin Booker and you're overworking him. When you look at this from Miami's perspective, it's obviously cap related. They're, I believe, just maybe like one small salary away from dipping under the line, I believe. So there's obviously motivation there beyond just like whatever his talent or whatever his struggles were. For the Suns, yeah, he's going to bring that benefit. And then you have another big contract on your books next year, which, look, if you had Ryan Anderson, he wasn't going to play. That was very clear. They were probably going to have to waive him or trade him or do something at some point. You have another body, and you were looking up the cap numbers, so it's not super terrible that they're having another $19 million contract on the books next year. But yeah, I mean, if you expected them to go sign two superstars this offseason, I don't know what you're thinking either. So it's kind of a wash, and it's, again, just you need NBA-level talent, and he's definitely NBA-level talent.
When you take 10 minutes to soak in the deal and realize this is not the point guard trade, you see the value in it. You're taking Ryan Anderson, who was going to be on the end of your bench, or you were going to stretch and waive him. He was going to be on the end of your bench until the end of next season, or he was going to be stretch and waive, like I said, something like that. Or you take a guy like Tyler Johnson, who's a serviceable ball handler for the rest of this season, and then if you have him next season, he is that guy. But if you don't have him next season, that's because he's a $19 million expiring contract that really helps facilitate bigger moves, and that's where the Suns in the current phase they are in right now can use him as an asset in that regard. That's where we think they can use Wayne Ellington as well, who is a little over $6 million expiring this year. But Woj is reporting, as we are podcasting, that they are looking to agree to a buyout, which makes sense from Miami's perspective, because why wouldn't Miami just, why wouldn't they just trade him for a second round pick or trade him for a protected first round pick or whatever you can get for that guy? It turns out there's probably not much of a market for him then in that case. So it's a fine trade. I like the trade. I think the money being on the books next year, it's an extra $3 or $4 million. Like you said, what exactly are they going to do with this money anyway? And people are going to say, well, you never know until you try, or you can't find out. It's only an extra $3 or $4 million. It's the stretching and waving thing was always ludicrous to me anyway. If you were a serious contender for free agents, I think it would make a lot more sense, but I don't think there's any of...
You don't do it until you need to do it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's any of that. I don't think there's any serious aspirations that need to be... They need to be there, but you don't need it to that extent to hamper yourself down the line. So I don't really have a strong take on the trade. It's fine. It is what it is. They got another ball handler. It's not a move where Tyler Johnson is going to... Look, if Tyler Johnson rejuvenates his career, great. But if he rejuvenates his career, that means he's just playing a little bit worse than what he's worth, as opposed to what he's playing like right now, which is a lot worse than what he's currently making.
If you look at it this way, it comes down to... If you have a lot of money on one contract and have to trade it for a starting caliber player who gets paid a lot, and you want to make that huge move next year, if you've got to do it, and you're going to have that salary on your books anyway, you might want to trade it. You might would rather have a rotation player, I mean, in Tyler Johnson than Ryan Anderson in whatever form Ryan Anderson's in, yes.
I mean, what if the other part of this that... Everyone is talking about the now, but there's still a possibility for a trade for a point guard before tomorrow. I don't think that's completely ruled out by any means. I think it's unlikely now. It's more unlikely. But if the right deal emerges, if the Laker Pelicans talks come back, I think they can still get in on some Lonzo Ball stuff. But it doesn't make it more difficult. It just makes it less likely now because you wouldn't create a logjam necessarily because Johnson can play the one or the two, and they've been playing kind of like Josh Jackson or Mikal at the two. They haven't really been playing a two, honestly, behind Booker. They've just been playing a wing there, and now they've actually got a real one, a real combo guard there. But they don't have a point guard, and that's kind of the main takeaway here, as it should be, but it's too soon to say. We won't know until the end of the deadline. But I think what they did do is they got better as a basketball team today, and that's all we were really asking for out of deals for them to make.
That is true. That's true.
I don't think anyone has said that on my timeline yet, that they got better as a basketball team today.
I guess I thought that, but I didn't say it out loud. Yeah. What else is going on in the NBA? Do these things... What has changed since yesterday? I'm so...
I like lay down in my bed at midnight and try to go to sleep and couldn't sleep.
Tobias.
45 minutes later, I check my phone and Tobias Harris got traded to the Sixers. That actually has some interesting Suns wrinkles in it because it surely indicates that the Clippers are punting on this season. And that's where Patrick Beverley for a second round pick or Milos Teodosic
Patrick
come up.
Beverley for Wayne Ellington?
Yeah, something like that,
and
perhaps.
A second rounder? I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably not.
I don't know. There's not a lot to go with for the Tyler Johnson thing because he's just not going to swing your team in one direction or the other. He just gives you another solid NBA player, but that is not what they need anymore. They don't need another solid guy. Like getting Kelly Oubre was great, but they need that point guard. They need that power forward. I think maybe even power forward becomes more of a target for them maybe coming up. Not sure.
Who is on the block? I don't even...
Aaron Gordon's a name that's come up a lot.
Yeah.
Zach Lowe continues to bring him up, rightfully so, because of the way his contract is structured. He doesn't really make a lot of money. He makes a decent amount, but Zach Lowe was talking about on his podcast that he's a guy where if he were, and this is what me and you have said about him for years as Arizona alums, if he would stop trying to be LeBron James or Kevin Durant or whatever and embrace being a Draymond Light, he would be pretty fantastic. But it's a matter of him getting there and accepting that mindset and being a worse Draymond Green, which is still pretty valuable and pretty good and would be pretty good on this team, too. Nikola Mirotic is out there as an unrestricted free agent. Two-way wing who can... Or two-way... Not two-way wing, but a two-way power forward who can shoot. But I don't know. It's hard to recalibrate ourselves because this is just... We weren't expecting a... They got slightly better move, and it didn't really change anything at all. We expected something that would drastically change things, and this it's an impactful move, but it doesn't change anything.
It's like a setup move.
Yes.
Which you don't know whether... It's just weird to have a setup move for a front office like this. Again, here's the obligatory. They have a co-interim GM and a skeleton staff working behind him. He just did something to set himself up to do something. We wonder if he'll be around to do that big thing that is impactful. What time is it? We have, what, just over 20 hours until the trade deadline?
Yeah, do we have anything else to say on it? I don't...
Tyler Johnson as a player, he can shoot threes.
He can do a little bit of everything. He's known for his... just the way, the style of play that he has. Yes, all the superlatives we always talk about with small white guards. He's gritty. He's tough. He's scrappy. Hustle. Heart. He's lost his teeth before playing basketball.
Wait, has he?
Yeah. He like chipped his teeth a couple of different times or something.
On the rim?
I don't know. I tweeted the story. Pablo Torre wrote a feature on him like 2.5 years ago that was really, really good. It was after he got paid with the money, and it was like, how did this... seventh man on the Miami, he get paid $50 million, and what is he going to do with it, and what's his story and everything? It was really good.
He's got a Moe's beard from The Office.
That is what Vince and Dan talked about when I was on Bickley and Murata. Yeah,
I heard that.
Very excited.
I got excited.
A lot of cosplay potential there.
If he doesn't run like Moe's, though. I hope.
That's a very inside baseball office reference that I understand and appreciate, and I hope a couple of listeners do as well. Yeah, they picked up a great cosplay edition here. So, like, for the Halloween game, it's going to be dope when he dresses up as Moe's. I bet you he's so tired of that by now. People are like, hey, Moe's. And he's like, oh, God.
If he shaved,
I know.
Has he shaved? I don't know. I think he hasn't. So, he could.
Bickley complimented his neck beard.
Was it a compliment?
I think so. I don't know. I didn't know. I was trying to calibrate everything that was happening.
Do you think he starts?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. I actually don't know, because he's a more of a he's in that Oubre camp of he's probably better off the bench.
But if you have a Kobo versus him,
yeah. But if Melton's hurt, oh yeah, he's starting on Friday. Yeah.
If he can get his, if he can get here, why are you freaking out?
Oh, I had to remind myself in my head that our poll question's now dated on the website, because I said, will the Suns start a new point guard on Friday? I guess it's not dated anymore.
It's not dated, because we just had that discussion.
Yeah, because we just had that discussion.
Well, okay, sorry. Unless it's not a point.
If you guys wanted to know what our brains are like when a trade happens on our job, you have just found out in the last 30 seconds or so.
All right. Bobby Marks, cap hit for Phoenix on Tyler Johnson is 13.3 and 13.... Why am I saying 13? It's 19.3 and 19.2. Oh, he's just saying everything we know. Waived his one-year bird restriction for Ellington. Suns get a cap charge for Ellington. Okay. Ellington will have strong interest. I have to click on this. Yeah. Ellington's a good shooter, but the Suns already have Troy Daniels. It would be kind of the same thing.
He waived his no-trade clause. He had a no-trade clause. He waived it. He's out of here. Johnson's, all of his advanced statistics have dropped in the past 3 years, or not all of them, but the ones that try to measure player value, I should say. His win share is per 48, his BPM is VORP. All of those are down, which indicate, again, that he is regressing. And it's going to be interesting to see how he takes this, because the Miami thing was always weird, right? They've been changing their lineup all the time, a lot of it based on injuries, but they always changed. Spoelstra would always change around those 9, 10 solid guys that he had and mix them around all the time. Like, sometimes Bam Adebayo is starting, sometimes Hassan Whiteside is starting. There's all sorts of stuff that happens there. But if he comes in here and he's the certified starting point guard for the rest of the season, maybe that's the sort of bump that he needs to get back on the right track here. But how about Miami, by the way, on that deal? It makes me think about Miami. The thing about that deal, we said it's 4 years, $50 million. You're like, wait, doesn't he make 19 and 19? Yes. They poison pilled it, so he only made, I believe, 4.5 the first year and 5 the second year. So in terms of value for Miami, they only paid half of that, or whatever, the first 60% of that first $19 million year, and then got off of it. So they did what they wanted to do with it, it seems like.
Yeah, what else more is there to say about this?
I think that's really it. I don't think there's a long-term takeaway other than I don't really agree with how much it hurts. It doesn't really hurt them a lot for salary cap or free agency or anything like that. It's not really that big of a shift that people are making it out to be.
I'm trying to think of something else, man. I got nothing.
We can end it there. The people have heard enough.
The people probably... Suns right, Twitter
so,
is a
so
little
So Gambo has
out.
Tweeted, the Suns would have waived and stretched Ryan Anderson by July 10th. That would have been the $5.2 million per year hit that they would have taken. The team would have had a cap hit of 15.6 all in 1 year, the 5.2 spread out over 3 years, with the latter being the better option. So that would have been their plan with Ryan Anderson. They wouldn't have let the 15.6 sit on the bench.
I don't think he's like Sam Bradford cooked, it looks like.
Miami people are tweeting where he can fit in the rotation. I don't think they've watched the Suns. It's fine. Not a lot of people have.
Not many people watched the Rockets when he was there either.
All right, apparently. We'll be back in 3 hours when the Suns actually trade for a point guard. Kidding, but not really. But we'll be back either for a kind of end of the week, end of the trade deadline kind of conclusion on what has happened, or back when the Suns make another deal. We'll see you then.